No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, dear God, for the wonder and the hope and the joy that it is to be called your children. We pray, dear God, that your word of words of life, words of power, and words of truth would be taken up by each one of us as our defense, as our hope, as our joy, and the source of life that we need in this world, even as it is throughout eternity. Father, we just ask your blessing on your word, that from it we gather a greater appreciation for the truth that has been given us and the truth of all creation. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There is, in Scripture, I would like to turn to start in Daniel. Chapter 7. But part of our history of this assembly was that when the Lord first called me back here in answer to the prayers of those that were still here in Lincoln, I had never in my life ever even once imagined that I might be entrusted with preaching the gospel. But when the Lord called me and caused me to confront some very serious decisions, very humbling decisions, one thing that that he put on my heart that was a bit unusual for me was that we needed, in order to start the church, we didn't have a building, so we couldn't name a church. But we, in order for contributions to be provided, were tax free, and because the intent was to get a building, in order to get the business affairs of the church started, we had to register the building, the assembly. Without a building, we had to assemble it and have a name. And some of you may have noticed, and I won't turn look there, but in the front of all the brown hymnals, you'll find handwritten in there, Saints of the Most High God. And I had never in really had that phrase ever come to mind before as I was praying about what we should do. And the Lord gave me that phrase, Saints of the Most High God. And that's kind of audacious in a little way. Yet, and again, I did not know that, so I began searching the scriptures, and all of a sudden, there it is. I'd never heard it before. But here in Daniel chapter 7, anyway, that became our the name under which we were incorporated as a nonprofit corporation and as a group, some sort of identifier. But in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel is speaking of the end of times. Seems like we've been in the end of times messages for quite a while now. And I'd like to begin with Daniel had this vision, this dream. And we won't read all of it leading up to it. It's just too much. But if we start with verse 15, Daniel 7:15, I'll probably read to the end of the chapter. It says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these of the things. These great beasts, which are four, and are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. When I first began searching for that name, and it's used in Scripture, this is the first verse that I came to. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, whose nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns which were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn had the eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of a time. That's 3.5 years, or the first half of the tribulation. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, and I kept the matter in my heart. There's some things that were revealed to Daniel said, seal up that book. Don't talk about it. It'll be opened later. But this dream, what was revealed to Daniel, he kept the matter in his heart. He wrote it down here. But what was revealed to him was a vision of what was taking place the first half of the tribulation period, at the end of this age, and nearing the end of the kingdom of God, or nearing the beginning of the kingdom of God, as it talks about in verse 22. But four times in this passage, we read, if you would, of the saints of the Most High. We are the holy ones. The word saints means holy ones. Of the Most High God. There is no other God before, above, or even close in comparison, if you would, to the one true God. Jesus, before he went to the garden, he prayed with the disciples. He prayed to the Father in John 17. He prayed to the Father and he said, my time has come. I've done the works you've given me to do. I won't take time to go there and read that. I think it's verse 3. He says, that they might know thee, the only true God. Brother James is in a situation where Except for God, they have no power. No hope. As you said, the privilege of sleeping during the night and waking up, the privilege of life one more day is his day and those around him. There is those workings in the world around us today in the darkness, and the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, this hatred against Christians. Hatred against Christians. Could it be any more pointed, any more direct? Where do we read of persecutions and there's hatred against though there is persecution about against other religious groups, but this worldwide hatred to the point of putting to death of Christians. Especially if you become such a center point for a country like Syria, a country like those rebels in the Congo, who are in a country that's mostly Christian. The government itself is corrupt in not fearing or trusting God. But caught down in the very on the knife's edge of it all are the saints, the holy ones of the Most High God. It is we, and as you know, like I said, 46 years ago when we started the church in a legal and official manner, and the use of that title, that name, I knew it came from Daniel, and here's where I first saw it. But I knew it regarding the end times. I didn't pick it. It's what the Lord put on my heart. But now I think about all that's changed in the world since we first began meeting, and how we rejoiced in being able to have a meeting to gather together to learn the Word of God, to discover the riches of the grace of God, to study Paul's writings, to study the Gospels, to study the Word of God, and to grow together as young Christians, and to hopefully others would be drawn to the same message of God's love and grace. But now, not that we set that aside, but now what we have before us is some of the very things that Daniel is alluding to and speaking of, growing, increasing, and taking place in the world today. And that the focal point of the hatred of the world, as Jesus said, is against Jesus and those that call upon him, those that are of him. Because by our very name, our very definition, we are the saints. The word saints means the holy ones of the highest, greatest God, the God Almighty, which stands ready to judge this world, which is been so polluted and tainted by Lucifer, again, we won't turn there. There's so much, I don't have time to go to all these, but in Isaiah 14:14, when Lucifer sinned, when he brought sin into existence, Lucifer's claim was this: I will be, or I would be, I intend to be, but he said, I will be like the Most High. So the God of this world, Satan, who brings darkness and death to this world, it is his goal. He will be like the Most High. That is his goal. At any cost, he would be the Most High God. And in this world, it seems that through many circumstances and situations, he has the power. He has the soldiers and the governments, as this image that Daniel speaks of has this authority to pursue and put to death and to destroy and to make war with the saints of the Most High God, as if this beast and the systems and institutions in place are able to displace God. And that's at the very center of this, of all that's taken place in the world, is the desire of Satan to become like the Most High. Yet God has proclaimed, the true Most High has proclaimed that he will be destroyed. And so he's ready to go to battle. And his war at this point is not with God himself. But his war at this point, in verse 25 of Daniel, is that he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. That phrase has stuck with me all these years. The Lord reminds me of it from time to time. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the times. Oh, this judgment's not coming. And laws. No, laws of God mean nothing. The rule of God means nothing. And for a while on earth, the Antichrist, this beast, this institution, all those things that function together will appear to be taking dominion over the earth to the point where a person cannot buy or sell or work or do anything, kind of like Brother James. They have nothing because this evil power is in charge and in control. I would venture that in the Congo right now and in Brother James' area and what he's going through, it seems like the true, only true God is not really manifesting himself the way that he could. And that is because the time is not now. A few other examples, and I'm going to come back to that. There is a time when that time is now, when God has manifested that he is the Most High God. I would love to read through Daniel chapter 4, but you can read that yourself I pointed out, I was here some time ago, that Daniel chapter 4 appears to be written by Nebuchadnezzar himself, because he speaks of himself in the first person. And he relates the vision that he had of a great tree in the earth. And long story short, he asked Daniel for an interpretation because his magicians and seers could not give him an answer. Daniel wept and hesitated, but he did finally tell Nebuchadnezzar the meaning of the dream. And it was that that great tree that supplied life and safety and sustenance to all the world was going to be cut down. And pretty much banished to the wilderness and to that Nebuchadnezzar would have the nature of an animal, and they would feed him grass like when they fed the other oxen. And the whole purpose of it was because Nebuchadnezzar, in all his greatness, he exalted him. So he sat back one day and he said, This kingdom that I have put together, I am truly great. Within 24 hours, he lost his mind and spent 7 years like a beast of the field until it was made known. I'll go ahead and read that from Daniel chapter 4, back just a few pages. Verse 34, at the end of the days, after 7 years, probably without much of a bath, without any kind of clothing or covering or personal hygiene, his hair grew, his nails grew to like bird's claws. At the end of 7 years of living like an animal outside, this great king Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34 says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay or stop his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those who that walk in pride he is able to abase. 7 years he lived in the wilderness and lived in like a beast until it fully became real to him that there is none like the Most High God who is able to set up and tear down the kingdoms of man. So the term the Most High God was used several times. The very next chapter here in Daniel in chapter 5, is the infamous chapter about Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, who didn't get this message, didn't learn much from his dad, and he wasted his time and monies and things on party and drunkenness. And he went, and you can read through that as well. He got the holy vessels that were taken out of the temple of God when Israel was taken captive, and he used them for partying with, for drinking out of, for just all manner of just worldly celebration. There is using the instruments used to worship and adore the Most High God for common drunkenness and partying. And that's when the handwriting on the wall came. And again, Daniel was eventually called, because Belshazzar saw that hand, that portion of did the writing. He saw that portion of the hand writing these words on the wall. We hear in the term Most High God throughout Scripture in times, very pivotal times, very kind of important times. And as he sought answers to this, Daniel upbraided him that he did not learn the lesson from his father that what God is able to do. So Daniel's interpretation of this prophecy to him was that your kingdom, God, verse 26, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar and they that clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold on his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. The greatness of the remnants of the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar was brought to nothing in a night. The Most High God is referred to in Scripture when, oftentimes when there are major announcements, major changes, major important things made known. Again, it began with Lucifer saying, I will be like the Most High. Melchizedek in the Old Testament, who ministered to Abraham in Genesis 14, I believe. I can't read my own writing. Sometimes I write rather loosely. He was called the priest of the Most High God. He had no known origins or no known end. He was a type of Christ. But he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham. He blessed Abraham. Because Abraham is the beginning. He's the father of faith for all those who, like us. He's our father in the faith. He is the father of the nation of Israel through Isaac and then Jacob. And the blessings of God were challenged by Balak. And he got tried to get Balaam to prophesy against Israel. And he said, when it comes to the things of God and the people of God, you cannot curse them because God will only bless them. Because he is the Most High God, and this is what he is going to do, and there is nothing that can stop it. When the young girl that had a demon was following Paul and Silas around, and they were healing, they were doing things, and she would follow them around and prophesy. She declared, these men are the servants of the Most High. When Jesus went and pulled up to the shore, and there was what was called the maniac of Gadara, the man that had the demons and who could break chains, and they could not hold him, they could not restrain him in any way. When Jesus saw him, the demons within him cried out, says, Why are you come down to persecute us now, thou Son of the Most High? We are in the midst and walking in the midst of the workings of the Most High God. We are, though not in name of an organization, but we are the children, the saints of the Most High God. There is nothing that God cannot do, nothing that he will not do. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and there is a working that is demonstrated throughout Scripture where references are made of him. If we turn to Psalm 91, there is, by the people of God, those who know him and believe in him, there is given great, great hope and encouragement and strength and might and promises. Because we are the saints of the Most High God. And where he goes, we will go, and what he does, we will do. And what he says, he shares that with us as his children. But David says in Psalm 91, the first verse, very well known, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or shall continue, shall be safe under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. In Him will I trust. Because the promises of the Most High, the promises and the purpose of the Most High have been on and are over the earth and will dominate all things in the earth, even as Daniel's dream and his vision showed. That no matter what the devil comes up with, no matter what darkness and viciousness can come upon this world and the things that Brother James is living through, this is his everyday. They go to bed at night not knowing that they will wake up and live. They walk through and live each day not knowing that they will finish that day. And there are many other Christians and many others that are the saints of the Most High that live that way every day of their lives in this world at this time. It seems as though if the beast is going to conquer, has more power, is able for all things. But he doesn't. There's a timing. There's a timing to the things of God. And there is a place under the shadow of the Almighty where no matter what the world may and the forces of the world shall bring about and bring into a person's life, no matter what it is, the Most High is still in control. In Acts chapter 7, well, doesn't it mean if our God is the Most High God that we'll never have anything bad happen to us? We'll never have any trouble that's greater than us? We'll never be dominated by the forces of darkness? Spiritually, that's true. Physically, there are, according to the workings of God, He raises up kingdoms. He's allowing this kingdom of darkness and the working of the Antichrist, He's allowing that to come grow and gain force in the world today. Our God, He's setting those kingdoms up, but the intent is those that He will be glorified in tearing them down. In the meantime, the people of God are called to embrace hope and joy and peace, and not look on the suffering of the flesh, but look upon the victory in the spiritual matters. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was arrested, if you would, loosely speaking, when they took him, and he was testifying of what it was he's doing, he basically gave this condensed version of the work of the Most High God in Israel up until that very moment. And in verse 47, in speaking of Solomon, Acts 7:47, Stephen said, "But Solomon built him a house." Speaking about build a house for God, a temple. "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my lowly footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Stephen referred to the Most High, whose dwelling place is heaven, in the heavens, the spiritual realm. And earth is just something he puts his feet on, and it's under his control. And with that, they stoned Stephen. And he gave up his life to speak those words. And there are those times throughout the history of the working of God, as we again read in Daniel, that the beast shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That term to wear out, it means to, not physically so much, but to mentally afflict the saints of the Most High. So it is in our hearts and in our minds that the lies of darkness, the lies of Satan, the lies of the workings of the Antichrist in the world today, we can be mentally afflicted by this seeming power and control that the Antichrist and the kingdom of darkness has over this world. But we can find mental relief and peace and joy as we place our lives literally into the safekeeping, the well-doing of the Most High God as his holy ones in this world, who are assured that we will suffer persecution. But it does not change the fact that he is God, and that all these things will be brought to an end when the Ancient of Days shall say the time has come. The Most High sets up people. He sets up kingdoms. He tears down kingdoms. He tears down people. But the promises that he has made his saints, his holy ones, his children, are without end. And we can find rest and peace under the shadow of the Almighty. When we put our trust, no matter what it may cost us in the flesh, we learn to let go of this world and cling to the words and the promises and the hope given us by the Most High God, the only true God. And we have peace. Brother James, we pray, will be blessed with peace. The people with him, that will be blessed with joy. Even as the young girl that followed Paul and Silas said, these are the servants of the Most High God. I will take that charge any day. I will take that description any day. And I do, and the Lord brought home my heart in preparing this. And it caused me again just to reconsider that name by which we identified ourselves when we were first formed as a church. And I believe it was prophetic and true. Nothing new, but nothing I'd ever heard of. And nothing that you do not hear much of in this world today. But it's an empowering truth to enable us to stand against any and all odds and give us hope that will endure forever. With that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that we can call you our Father, that we can call ourselves your saints. Father, we thank you that in this world today, we have the opportunity to represent you and your truth in each and every day. Father, help us to unburden our hearts with the things of this world, the worries of this world, and even the life in these bodies, knowing that it is the life in our soul that is our greatest treasure. Father, we pray especially for Brother James and the saints with him. We pray for each other that no matter what may come our way in this world, that we will remember with a clarity that we are the holy ones of the highest God. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
548, verse 2.
Let's stand and turn number 548 and sing the second verse. 548, verse 2. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Amen. God would purge from us as we grow in the Lord the hope and the desire for anything but being in his presence. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.